are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
Here we go.
Theology is reality.
Here it is. It's the God Geeks podcast, your weekly dose of theology and
geekology.
Geekology. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah. We can do that. We can do geekology. Now, one thing I've got to do right away is confess of what a old man I sounded like on last week's podcast. I kept meaning to say visit the website, and I kept saying log in,
dial like, up the
yeah,
website.
go ahead and plug in your phone line and wait for the handshake, sign your password in and log on to the website. But what you can do is you can visit the website, godgeeks.com. You can contact us through there. You can send us questions, comments, anything you want.
Yep.
On the show. I'm your co-host, Bill Brimer. This is my man,
James Cleland.
And we're going to get started with our segment, Jedi Mind Tricks, where we're going to talk about ghosts, exorcisms, demons, angels,
paranormal activity,
the occult, spiritual craziness. We're going to get into that. And then we're going to get into some super geeky Captain America Civil War movie viewing action that James got to see the movie. He's going to talk about it, and we're going to get a quick dose of Game of Thrones, which we'll double up on next week. So enjoy this episode of the God Geeks podcast. Here is Jedi Mind Tricks.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
All right, it's Jedi Mind Tricks time again. And those of you joining us maybe for the first time, Jedi Mind Tricks, we talk about theology, how theology is reality. And we like to wax poetical about God stuff. And I think I got a doozy for today. I like to kind of just start Bill off, and he usually just runs with it. So I think I've got one. My kids have been asking me in my classes about paranormal activity, not necessarily the movie. I think maybe they had seen the movie and that spurred the conversation, but they're wondering about ghosts and demons and angels and poltergeists and all those things. I think some of them went on a ghost tour on a school trip or something, and they came back, are there really ghosts? And so we had a good conversation, but I thought maybe we could talk about, you know, the spiritual realm. Are there ghosts? How does that fit into theology? How does that fit into our worldview? And then, you know, demons and all those things. So I think there's some maybe misunderstandings about one that leads to the other, or, you know, vice versa. So what are your thoughts on paranormal activity, the supernatural, poltergeist?
It's fascinating, man. I mean, what I'd say is that's one of those things that you can really easily get sort of intrigued by to me. I've always been intrigued by that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
I've always been intrigued by the occult and sort of black magic, the idea of calling upon dark spirits and whatnot. I mean, not that I've wanted to do it, but it's one of those things that
kind of worried for a second.
You're always like, you're always like, you know, is it real? You know,
I've always wondered, does
this kind of thing happen?
I was afraid to trick or treat as a child, 'cause I thought, you know, demons would attack me
like
or something.
That you were participating somehow.
Because I've always loved like horror movies, like the original Poltergeist.
Right.
Great movie. And it got me thinking about spiritual things, even, you know, when I was probably too young to watch it at 12.
Right. But, yeah.
You know, you start to think about the spiritual realm.
Maybe we're so fascinated with it because our homes were actually built over Native American graveyards somehow.
Yeah, most likely.
And, and of all things, we put in a swimming pool. Here's the thing. Ghosts are mentioned in the Bible. However,
okay, different than maybe what we think.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a, you know, the big big asterisk.
Asterisk?
Something
that
like that.
French comic? I don't remember. Anyway.
I don't know. But the word ghost, as in apparition or specter or phantom.
Okay.
Like what we would typically think of as a ghost, because I think when people hear the word ghost, they think about the soul of a person that, you know, of a dead person that
hasn't
moved
on.
Yeah, that's somehow hanging around and haunting.
Right.
Haunting either, oh, it's a nice, it's either Casper the Friendly Ghost, I guess, or you know,
right.
We have a ghost in our house or a haunted house, this kind of thing. Now, I said it was that word is actually in the New Testament. It is in two places, but the way that it's used indicates that it's foolish to believe in such a thing.
Okay.
And in the places where the Greek word phantasma, which is where we get phantom,
yeah,
is used is in the account both in Mark and in Matthew of when Jesus walks on the water.
Oh, okay.
And the disciples,
is that a ghost?
The disciples scream and they're like, like in the word phantasma. They thought, you know, it's an apparition or and so it turns out obviously that that's not what it is, right? So I think by the context that you can see, the way that they're using it is that they thought, oh, it's a ghost, where there is no such sort of thing because Jesus was physically walking on the water. He was performing a miracle. And so did they believe in ghosts? I don't think you can surmise that they did from that passage. They just thought that's the only thing that it could be because there's a man floating, appearing to float to us out here on the water. Well, it's actually Jesus performing a miracle by walking on the water. And so I think it shows that particular usage of ghost is not something that the scriptures say.
Go believe in ghosts.
Right. So the other side of it is the word pneuma, which the Greek word pneuma, which translates most often to spirit, which is sometimes translated into English as ghost.
Is that why you have Holy Ghost?
Right. Yeah. So the word actually means spirit, but it also means wind or breath. And most often when it's used like pneuma, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. So I think it's Hagion, pneuma, Holy Spirit, or Spirit Holy, you know, pneuma, Hagion, something like that. But there are other cases where it's not talking about the divine spirit. It's talking about the spirit of a man, or, you know, he gave up the ghost, or he gave up his spirit, talking about when you die, so the spirit passes on. But the way that the scriptures talk about the human soul being separated from the body at the point of death,
mm-hmm.
Is really only talked about in the soul being delivered over to like a judgment situation,
mm-hmm.
where they're in a temporary place, either heaven or hell, awaiting the resurrection, the final judgment kind of thing.
Right.
So
there's no scriptural evidence for soul being ripped from body at death and hanging out, waiting on earth.
Haunting
things.
No, it's actually what I would say is it's quite the contrary, that is not within the realm of possibilities for a human soul to have some sort of ability to hang around and then affect the physical realm somehow. So I would say probably, you know, without a doubt, based on scripture, we could say, you know, ghosts like we think of them are not a reality. However,
all right, another asterisk.
there are created beings who operate in the dimension, in the spiritual dimension, who pass in and out of the physical dimension.
Right.
Obviously, we're talking about here different kinds of angels, mm-hmm. Which are fascinating to me as well.
Yeah.
Because there's such thing as an archangel, according to the scripture, which right. which sort of implies some form of rank.
Right.
Among these created beings.
Right.
The word angel, angelos, you know what that means?
Messenger?
Messenger, yeah. Which implies that's their function.
Yeah.
It's to, the holy angels, the angels created and sustained in God's heavenly realm and that do God's bidding, if you will, would be deliverers of the word of God.
So
right.
they're sustained by the word and deliver the word.
Right. So I mean,
created by the
they're,
word.
They're messengers, which implies
yeah.
that they would deliver.
Bring word.
You know, and I think when you see an angel in the scriptures operating, it's because they're delivering a word of God or will of God sort of message to a human that really could only come about by a divine or angelic
right.
sort of. Being otherwise, God's using humans,
yeah,
to speak His word and to preach gospel, preach law, preach His revelation of the scriptures and the word of God, and so there are also then, obviously different kinds of angels, like I said, cherubim, mm-hmm. And there are angels who. You know, it says in there multiple places, and it gives multiple examples where angels actually are mistaken as humans.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's in Hebrews where it talks about even that people have entertained angels
and didn't even know,
unbeknownst
it.
To
yeah.
them, that
yeah.
they were angels. So we know based on the scripture that angels do operate and walk among us as. And perhaps a lot of times, I would say the majority of the time, unbeknownst to us,
yeah.
in human form, which is crazy.
Kind of cool
to think
about.
Very cool to think about. The other side of that is so
maybe
cool.
The scary part.
Yeah,
yeah. I think, and what was worrying some of my students is, well, if there's no ghosts, and if there are angels,
uh-huh.
then maybe what we think of ghosts are actually demons or fallen angels, which.
I think
it's a good well, logic
so,
train. I see where they're going.
Well, so I mean, you know, there's obviously accounts of demonic dark spirits not only possessing human beings and
right.
causing them to do evil, to do and to say, to be vessels for evil.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, there's the account of the legion of demons that Jesus casts out, and the legion actually asks him to enter into swine, to pigs,
yeah.
which I think there's kind of a weird, sort of a interesting tie in there that was considered an unclean animal,
right?
In the Jewish tradition, and
right.
and that then those pigs actually. Became temporary hosts for demons before they ran off the cliff, you
right,
know?
Right.
So that's fascinating. There's a lot of mystery there. I don't know. However, there's multiple accounts of demon possession and demon oppression
mm-hmm.
in the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And people have these kinds of stories that they can tell now. And I actually have... witnessed what I believe without a doubt, I was not the only one there, was an actual exorcism of a demon. We were in Africa, and there was a mm-hmm. young lady who I have no way of knowing if she was technically possessed or being tormented or oppressed, however you want to say it,
yeah.
by a demonic or a dark spirit, but we actually witnessed the casting out of that through prayer,
yeah.
through the proclamation of Jesus Christ and a physical, like a tormented physical struggle happened in front of us through this lady, in and through this lady. And then it came to find out, and one of the crazy things about that actual event was that this particular lady did not speak English. But when the phrase, during the prayer, when the phrase in English was uttered, darkness flees at the sound of your name, at the sound of the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
When it said darkness flees in the sound of the name, that is when this guttural shriek came out of this lady. And literally, I guess, all heaven, all hell broke loose. And and it was a crazy experience to sort of... See, obviously, I'm not using my experience as saying that means it must be true.
Right.
I'm just saying that these kinds of things do
well,
happen.
Backed up by scripture, and
they're
we live in a spiritual
absolutely
and
happen.
Physical world.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Well, yeah. And it goes back to the word pneuma as well. I mean, breath and wind are physical things, and we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
How the spiritual realm and the physical realm are not disconnected like we would like them to be. They're not neatly categorized. They're intermingled and intermixed. I mean,
yeah.
We are physical beings and we are spiritual beings. And there are spiritual beings who are physically interacting in the physical realm, like we've been saying. There's a great book. If you want to read more about this, this book has not only my full, you know, sort of endorsement for a great source, but a lot of other pastors and respected, actually, I'm not saying I'm one of the respected pastors and theologians, but there are respected pastors and theologians who have actually turned me onto this book. And the guy's a doctor. He's got a doctorate and his name, Dr. Bennett. And the book is called I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. And most of the research is done that he did with exorcisms this book is a recent book. This is the last, 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
The Lutheran Church in Madagascar, this is something that's quite common to happen over there because it is a practice of a lot of ancient tribal societies, and actually it's practiced quite a bit here.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it's called animism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the communication with the dead.
Yeah.
Or attempting to communicate with the dead. And when you think about that, you think about some sort of crazy voodoo
or
some sort of a shaman or witch doctor who's
druid.
Who cuts the head off of a chicken and then says words and then you can speak with your dead relative or something crazy like that. Now that kind of thing does happen and that kind of occult stuff does happen, but we Americans think we're way removed from that kind of a thing. But the reality is you hear people all the time
mm-hmm.
talking to the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You think about this. You see people visiting grave sites.
Talk to the dead.
Talking to the dead, to their dead relatives.
Yeah.
You have people talking about their maybe their dead, and it's an emotional thing,
yeah.
You know. And I'm not even saying that I haven't sort of, unfortunately, kind of done the same thing in the past. Just not even thinking about it. Just thinking about I miss my friend who's dead,
and you have a conversation.
Sort of,
with
to him. But so the problem with that is like the huge, huge problem with that is kind of what you alluded to earlier. You don't really know who it is you're communicating with, and there's no indication in the Holy Scriptures about any kind of ability to channel the dead or why you would want to. Because here's the problem with it. You're saying, God, I know you're great and almighty and everything,
and creator, and
you've saved me and you've given me faith and all this other stuff.
But I need to talk to you.
But you're not sufficient for me to communicate to. I need to talk to my dead relative who is your creature. So it's actually a lot of times accidental form of the worship of the dead.
Yeah.
And it's dangerous. That's a dangerous thing, as are any kind of psychic or anyone who claims to be able to communicate
mediums
with the dead.
Ghost hunters.
I would say a lot of those are probably scams.
Yeah, so they're dangerous in that sense, but they're also dangerous in
but,
if you do
but
make
what
contact
if they
with
are
spirits.
Really, what, you know, yeah, right.
What
so,
are the spirits?
Because like, you can go to some people and they can... They have certain insights about you or your life that they shouldn't have normally had.
Right.
You know, they may be able to tell you some things that are personal things that not that that other people don't know, and they actually are more than likely, even if they don't know it, practicers or participator in the dark arts. I mean, they're doing some occult stuff, and they're and like you mentioned before, we should be very, very cautious and careful and probably, I wouldn't say afraid.
Right. So my kids were feeling afraid and I was like, guys, God is all powerful.
Right.
Satan,
right.
Not all powerful.
Right. Yeah.
Powerful.
I mean, right.
Not all powerful.
Well, it's sort of a know your enemy thing.
Yeah, totally.
You know, like
defense against the dark arts.
Yeah. defense against the dark arts. Test the spirits like we've talked about before.
Yep.
Know the word of God. Remember your baptism.
Yep.
You know, there are verses where Jesus, you know, Jesus gave, the disciples that he sent out authority over unclean spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And when they came back, they were celebrating like that they had this authority over the unclean spirits. And I don't want to misquote him, but he said something like, listen, don't celebrate the fact that the spirits are, you know, submissive to you because of my name. Rather celebrate the fact that you're saved, that you believe in the one that God sent.
Right.
Like, you know, rejoice
power.
In your salvation. not don't rejoice in this authority that you
right.
have that you can call upon the name of God to suppress or to sort of exercise evil spirits. It's him who does these things. And so there's also a story in the book of Acts, fascinatingly enough, where people are trying to cast out demons
and it ain't working.
And they say, you know, I can't quote to you the exact passage, but I love the story and it's a scary, it's a scary story, but it's actually quite fascinating where they say, you know, we cast you out, by in the name of Jesus, whom Paul knows.
And
the demon responds, you know, Paul, I've heard of, and Jesus, I know, but you, I don't. And they jump and beat them.
Yeah.
The possessed person jumps up and beats the crap out of these people who are trying to basically celebrate, hey, we have authority over you.
Right.
So, it's not a something, I probably just scared the crud out of some of them by quoting that story. But the thing is, you know, remember that you're baptized. Remember, don't be afraid of the darkness, because you're the light of the world in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, so let's move into This Week in Geek.
This Week in Geek.
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
The segment of the show that has been talked about in Geekland, the segment of the show whose legend is growing, where we talk about the weekly developments in geekiness.
Yep,
and we've had another geeky week.
Oh, it's been a geeky
week. And James, you geeked out because this past week, the newest Marvel comic book action movie has come out. Civil War,
Captain America Civil War.
So you've seen that. I have not got a chance to see it yet. We've talked in previous episodes where I remain skeptical of
the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No. Not of specifically the Marvel, but of any comic book movie until I've heard like really good positive things about it. Because I just, I don't know, so many of them become a beatdown. So tell us, you know, either discourage me from going to see it or encourage me from going to see it and kind of tell me what I need to do here. Tell our listeners like what you thought. I mean,
I'm totally on the Civil War bandwagon at this point. I loved it. It was fun. It was an Avengers movie really at its heart. It was everything Batman vs. Superman wanted to be, and it's so hard not to compare the two once you see it, because it's all the same themes, except done right. It's good. It's really good. And I'm interested in you seeing it without having seen... Because you haven't seen the other Avengers movies, have you?
I have not.
And you haven't seen most of the Iron Man...
I've not seen most of the Iron Man. And so I have heard that those are good.
There's a lot of like callbacks to those movies, especially the last Avengers, because there's new characters like the Vision and Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And they introduce new characters too. There's Black Panther in this one.
I do plan to go see this one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really cool to hear what you have to say after having not seen those other ones, to see if this movie stands up as a standalone film, or if it's really just something that you'll only appreciate if you've seen all the other Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
Right. Without spoiling anything, you would say this film is well worth going to see.
Oh, totally worth going. So I don't want to spoil anything. The trailer does enough spoiling.
Okay. Does it really?
Yeah. So maybe even if you don't see the trailer, go watch it.
Yeah. No, I've seen the trailer.
Okay. Then it spoiled some. I mean, it would have been cool to have been surprised about some of the characters.
I'm just glad that you went and saw it and said it's good, because I wasn't gonna see it at all, especially after the Batman versus Superman.
Right.
You know. But let's talk for a second while we're on this.
Yeah.
Just in general, sort of historically as a kid, because as a kid, I did read comic books.
Okay, as a kid, and they were apparently evil. My mom wouldn't let me at first.
Oh, is that right?
she eventually got off that 80s bandwagon of Dungeons like, and Dragons evil,
right.
Marvel
yeah.
comic
yeah.
books evil.
Because I played D&D too.
Right.
Except my mom... my mom, when I was a kid, when she found out I was playing D&D, she told me I couldn't play D&D.
Right.
And then I just snuck around and played D&D anyway.
It made you want to play more.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, it was kind of like, at first it was like this untouchable thing like D&D, but just like D&D, as soon as I like met some other kids that played it or read it or whatever, it was like, oh, this is actually really cool. This is not what my mom thinks it is. This is not what I've been told it is.
Yeah.
And it's deeper and better and cooler. And
yeah. And so as a kid then, Marvel or DC?
So DC I was allowed to experience because like old school Batman and Superman stuff. Uh-huh. For some reason, DC was totally allowed.
So it was more sort of...
good versus evil, no gray area.
Right. Okay.
With Marvel, there's always been this kind of tinge of a little bit of gray going on.
Right.
And I think... first exposure I had to Marvel were the Topps trading cards.
Uh-huh.
And I would just go through those and look at all the characters and read the backstories and stuff.
Yeah.
But I didn't know the overarching stories until probably in college I started to get exposed to the all the different graphic novels of the series that had come out. I loved it. So I'm more of a Marvel fanboy.
Right.
But I love some of the DC stuff from the Frank Miller kind of era stuff.
Yeah.
There's some really good Kingdom Come. I don't know if you've read that graphic novel.
I've heard you talk about it.
Okay, yeah, you got to read. I'm going to get a copy for you. That's probably my favorite graphic novel, but I like Marvel best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I read graphic novels now. But they're not anything like the comic books that
it's
I read when I was a kid.
Yeah.
No, to me, it's not even a comic book.
No, it's
graphic,
like a different...
Like the modern graphic novel. And I'm talking... Like, I mean, I like some weird stuff like Maggie the Mechanic and some kind of... It's kind of like a weird punk rock sci-fi deal.
Okay.
And,
yeah.
You know, some stuff like that I think is really fun and cool.
But there's something about the...
I read some of The Walking Dead, you know, some of that stuff, but I was a show watcher first, so I wasn't like an original Walking Dead guy. But when I think of comics, I don't think of like modern day graphic novels. I think of comics personally, just as my experience as a kid was, I loved Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I still do love Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of plays into, my fatigue on the superhero movies, because I loved Spider-Man so much. Like, to me, he was funny.
Yeah.
He was cool. I mean, he could essentially...
The kid you wanted to be.
He could fly because he could spin webs to the city. He could climb on anything. He was strong, super strong for his size. You know, just everything about Spider-Man I loved and I still do love. I loved the comic books when Venom came along, and all of that stuff was great to me. And I was really excited, and I think I probably could say that I liked the Spider-Man movies at first, you know?
The Tobey Maguire ones?
Yeah. But because that was the beginning of all this
new
this stuff.
Spider-Man or new
but,
superhero.
You know, then they've remade it, and I haven't even seen the newer ones, and it's, I don't know.
Well, now we're in our third one with,
well, that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like, I don't know. It's the same. They're sort of retread and overdoing it and kind of like, I don't know. I feel like it's gone so far from what I had as a kid in Spider-Man. And so I'm not putting it down like for anybody else. Like if they love the superhero movies, I don't know. It's like, it was my fear with Star Wars. It's my fear with what they're going to do. It's my fear with all the new movies that it will somehow sort of taint the memory I have of what it always was as a kid. And I don't think that'll happen with Star Wars, because you can always go back and see those old movies, and you could do the same thing with old comic books and stuff like that, but it's just a different deal for me.
Yeah.
So I'm not defending sort of my disdain for my skepticism, let's say, for the comic book movies, but we've talked about that before. It's just tough for me.
Yeah, no, I get
to really get excited about them because I've been disappointed so many times.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I'll say, and Civil War felt like the comic books I was exposed to.
Okay.
And I think those might have been 15 years after the ones you were.
Yeah.
So it hits a chord with me, I think, a little more.
Yeah. I also had some pretty opinionated positions.
Never.
Well, even when I was a kid.
Okay.
Like, I've always felt like, I'm going to get hated for this. I always felt like, I mean, don't get me wrong. My opinion on this guy has changed, but Batman was kind of a beating to me as a kid. I never thought he was that great.
Okay.
Batman and Robin. I just wasn't a huge fan of that.
I wouldn't.
And there's people who are like Batman crazy. And I just haven't been that way. I've always thought Captain America was a stupid superhero.
Right, when the first one came out, I was like, I don't want to see Captain America. He's grown on me though
that's
not the comic book.
That's the thing. I mean, like I love characters like Wolverine, but I don't know. I'm just so nitpicky and pick and choosy on the superheroes that I even like.
Yeah.
You know? So
well, that's what's so great about the Marvel universe. There's something for everyone.
There's enough. Yeah. There's enough to go around. Well, cool. So it's been a pretty geeky week.
Yeah.
You want
to talk into Game of Thrones before we go?
Well,
do we got any time?
Do we have time to talk Game of Thrones?
Okay, Jon Snow's alive.
There's so much to say about Game of Thrones.
Yeah. How about what was your favorite part from this week's episode?
Okay. Let's just do that. This is the only thing we'll touch on in Game of Thrones.
Okay.
First, you tell me what you thought the biggest thing was of the week.
I liked the justice at the end of the episode. I'm a justice freak.
Right.
So the people that murdered Jon Snow got their comeuppance.
Right. Oh, boy, did they.
But the flashback, I think, was my favorite part.
Okay. So there's so much to talk about in this, so we don't have to spend the time, but we'll have to double up on Game of Thrones next week. But what I will say is, biggest thing that happened in Game of Thrones this week was the fact that Bran called out Father to Ned and Ned heard him. Which indicates to me, and everything the three-eyed raven.
Yeah. So
the three-eyed raven says, you know, there's some things that are happening there where I go, the three-eyed raven knows that Bran may be able to actually go back in the past and interfere and do something that brings a great sci-fi element into this whole deal that really wasn't there before.
No.
Like a time travel thing where not just where you can go back and see what happened, but we can go back and affect it. That that makes me really excited for what could happen.
I'd love to see where that goes.
Yeah. So anyway,
cool.
Really geeky week.
That
really
was geeky.
Geeking out over comics and time travel and sci-fi and Game of Thrones. And we'll do more of that next week on the God Geeks podcast.